The reading is taken from Isaiah 9, verse 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Let's stand together.
Right, reading comes from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because of Joseph, her husband was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfil what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Mark, thank you so much for reading. Good evening, everyone. I'm Ben. I'm part of the team here. It's a privilege to be speaking on these wonderful readings tonight. Welcome as well to any who are tuning in online at home. Thank you for letting me into your front room this cold evening. Let's pray, shall we, as we start. Lord, some of us have known you a long time. Some of us have only known you a very short time, and some of us are still very much seeking you at this time. And as we've heard afresh and received again these wonderful carols and readings tonight, may we know you a little bit more tonight. We ask that by the words that Mark's just read for us that now, and through my spoken word now, we might encounter the living word, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope, very much hope, that you receive the greatest gift this Christmas. Although I'm not holding my breath. I mean, the odds seem to be stacked against us. Ordering online now comes with a special warning, doesn't it, that the Royal Mail may or may not deliver this gift in time for Christmas. Will it or won't it come? The Royal Mail delivery system just doesn't seem to be working. It's a bit on its knees, isn't it? Am I the only one who's only received one Christmas card? I'm trying to work out whether I've done something really offensive and I've been cancelled. I'll let you know mid-January, because I have this sneaking suspicion that all around the nation in postal sacks are Christmas cards with my name on it, and next to that sack is the gift that you ordered that probably isn't going to be here in time for Christmas Day. I hope you receive the greatest gift this Christmas, but I'm not holding my breath. You see, if the thing that you're waiting for is coming from the public sector, you might find strike action gets in the way. Perhaps for you, the gift that you wanted was the all clear from the hospital just before Christmas. Wouldn't that have been nice? But non-essential appointments seem to have been cancelled. Or perhaps the best gift for you would be greeting your family member off the train to spend those few days with them, only to find out the trains are not running. Maybe the best gift won't happen because of the strikes, and these picket lines are popping up everywhere. Insert joke about football strikers, unless inappropriate. Right, move on. I hope you receive the greatest gift this year, but I'm not holding my breath. You see, what with the cost of living going up and up so dramatically, it's not really been possible to get you what you wanted this year. I do apologize, but times are hard, and with increase in food and fuel and energy costs, I just don't think we can stretch to that gift this time. I'm sure you'll understand. Royal Mail delivery, strike action, cost of living crisis. Friends, please don't hold your breath for the best gift this Christmas. Instead, why not receive him tonight? Dreams, they're really funny things, aren't they? My dreams are often insignificant and more often than not, frankly, weird and probably not repeatable from the front of church. They're just weird. But just occasionally, God speaks to people in dreams. We see this again and again in the Bible. It still happens today. And that's what we have in our reading from Matthew's Gospel tonight. Joseph, this hard-working man, probably a carpenter, a normal sort of bloke, he's engaged to be married to this young woman called Mary. And being godly and traditional in their values, they've decided not to sleep together until the wedding night. You might have noticed that Matthew labours it about four times through the reading. And so when Joseph finds out that his fiancée is pregnant with someone else's child, what does he do? Well, I guess he's got three choices. Firstly, he could have gone public with this. He could have shouted it from the rooftops. That would have made him, I guess, feel a bit better, brought about a sense of justice for the injustice that's been done against him. But he knew how that would end for dear Mary, probably with her being stoned to death. He still loved her. He didn't really want that to happen, so he decided against that. Perhaps his second choice would be better. Maybe just ignore this whole thing and bring the child up as if it was his own. I mean, everyone would just assume, would they not, that this was his child. It was an option, but Joseph would have known. Could he really live that lie? Could he really bring this child up as if it was his own? And there's a risk, of course, isn't there, if he does that? When's the next time Mary might get pregnant with someone else's child? So maybe the best option was the third option. That was just to leave Mary quietly, make his excuses and exit. There were risks involved in that, of course. His reputation would now be at stake. You can hear them all gossiping at the market, can't you? Oh, he's the one that got engaged to her just to get her into bed. And the minute she got pregnant, he showed her the door. Well, they could think what they want. Joseph knows the truth. Maybe that's the best option. It's better than Mary dead. It's better than living a lie. But the relationship's over. And with that, dear Joseph rolled over, turned off the light, and went to sleep. Dreams are funny things, though. The angel of the Lord appears. The angel had other ideas. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What a difference one night's sleep can make. Joseph, son of David. And nowhere I've heard that before. Those are the words that were used in our first reading in Isaiah, that this one would come from the line of David. A lovely title, Joseph, son of David. Joseph and, more importantly, Mary were both from this royal heritage. They were both long lost ancestors of King David, that great royal king from whose line would come a king who would rule forever, a man born to be king. You might say a royal male who will deliver. It gets worse. A royal male who will deliver. You see, what we have here is the angel of the Lord saying that she's going to give birth to a son, and you give him the name Jesus, and he will save his people, or deliver his people from their sins. He's going to deliver God's people, rescuing them from their sins. We know from Romans 3 that all have sinned. That's everyone. You and I have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And therefore, this royal mail's delivery system is something that we need, not just at Christmas, but all year round. Our first reading told us that he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He really is a gift worth receiving. But how's it going to be? How on earth can this child help us to make peace with God? At Christmas, we focus on the start of Jesus' life, the star that shines in the skies, the men who come from the east, who are very, very wise, and the baby who lies in the manger and, contrary to the famous carol, no doubt, cries. So we've got the skies, the wise, and the cries, but that's just the start of the story, the greatest story ever told. Don't forget the end of the story, though, as Jesus grows up to be a man and he dies on the cross for our sin. And then he does rise to new life that we might follow him into eternity. Later on in the book of Isaiah, from which we had our first reading, we find these words, not easy words to read. They're predicting Jesus' death some 800 years before he was even born. It says this in Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and held in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we've been healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of God. Did you see that in the middle there? Punished by God, stricken by him. That's strike action. Not a picket line looking for better pay or better working conditions, but strike action for you. He's stricken for you. Whilst we've turned away from God, God was able to lay on Jesus the sins of us all, to punish him that we can be forgiven. So we've got this royal male delivering us from sin, achieved by Jesus being stricken for us. But why? Well, to bring us life. Romans chapter 6 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we know that we've all sinned and got things wrong, and the benefits or the wages or the drawdown from sin is death. And when the Bible talks about death, it's not talking about that sort of natural, inevitable end of our lives when we get very old. It's talking about the eternal death and separation from God. But here's the wonderful news. The royal male Jesus, who's delivering us from our sin by that strike action, being stricken by God on our behalf, has brought us life. So you might say that Jesus' death on the cross is the cost of our living. Eternal life. It costs you nothing. It costs him everything. You see, Jesus dies on the cross to pay the wages of sin in order that we can receive the gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. His death is the cost of our living. And this life isn't just for the future. It starts here and now. It's not just about life after death, it's about life before death in all of its fullness. Or as someone once put it, it's not just pie in the sky when you die, it's also steak on the plate while you wait. You see, in John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and have it in all abundance." Have it to the full. And this fullness of life is a free gift of God in Christ. But it cost Jesus everything. And like all good gifts, it's given first and foremost out of love. And it tells us far more about the giver than it does about us. I hope you receive the greatest gift this Christmas. Listen to these words from from 1 John 5. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I've got no idea how we're going to get those gifts that are currently sat in delivery offices. But I do know how to receive the greatest gift, Jesus. Jesus who makes peace with God for us. Jesus who gives his life that we might have life in all of its fullness, both now and into eternity. And it's really quite simple. And these are four letters to help you remember it. A, B, C, D. A, admit. Admit that you're in need of forgiveness. We all are. Say sorry to God for those things that you know you have done wrong. B, believe. Believe that Jesus is that gift sent by God to pay the penalty for our sin. Believe that his death has bought you life. C, count the cost. What's going to have to change in you if you follow this Jesus? What's going to have to change in your priorities, in your life, because you believe? Everything changes when God is welcomed in, so we need to count that cost before finally, D, decide. Decide to follow Jesus, to swear your allegiance to him, to walk in his ways for the rest of your days. This is life. Admit, believe, count the cost, decide. And here at St. George's, we've got loads of helpful ways to enable people to engage in those things, whether it be coming to church or hearing more at our carol services. We've got plenty more carol services coming up over the next couple of weeks. Speak to the people you came with tonight. Ask them, do you follow this Jesus? What does that mean for you? Speak to me afterwards. I would love to tell you more, or to invite you along to one of our courses, or to read the Bible one-to-one with you, that you might be able to ask questions and understand more. But please, don't hold off to the 25th to receive the greatest gift this Christmas. Receive him now, today. Jesus, that royal male who delivers us from sin by being stricken for us, that we might have life, and that his death on the cross being the cost of our living. I hope you receive the greatest gift this Christmas. Amen. We're going to sit and reflect as Andy and the band sing for us.